They just stand over there waiting for it to die down.
Oh.
Big bang chit chat.
Did I steal your space?
Where's Pete?
There's
no
spaces here.
Yeah, where's Pete?
We have no stealers.
He's not feeling well.
Of course. Too much jazz. I'm going to move out of my apartment.
Too much jazz.
His back's starting from sleeping on that wall.
During the jazz concert.
Pete goes to the concert and goes to sleep. He's a hard-working guy.
For a few minutes after Bible study, everybody needs to help Kayala.
Do what?
And me. We're loading books up in the bojo.
Okay.
Hey, wait a minute now. Let's rock, paper, scissors on this. It's more important. Fuck the books. I gotta get out of that apartment. And Darth Vader's asleep. Again. Just saying.
I said yesterday we were gonna spend that day on time, and we're gonna spend one more day on time.
I had somebody actually email me, and they'll be Saturday something about time.
Be Saturday, yeah.
Oh, from hearing the Bible.
I don't know. Somebody named Bill and Lucy. Anybody else get that?
You're like Bill and Lucy.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I'm concerned about how you answered them.
Oh yeah, come to think of that.
I actually didn't answer.
He didn't have time.
Yeah. You figured you'd do it later.
You've all heard me talk in the past about...
Anything.
What?
Nothing.
What'd you say?
Anything.
About this weird teacher that I had one time that asked us to compute the size of the container that everything in the known universe would fit into if space were removed. And he gave us the parameters. And at that time, this was in the 50s, everything in the known universe would have fit into an 8-ounce water glass. Every constellation, every star, every planet, if you remove space, would have fit into an 8-ounce water glass. And that blew my mind so badly that it just toasted it. Well, then as the electron microscope was developed and had gone deeper and deeper into the atom, now everything in the known universe, if space were removed, would fit into a dot that's smaller than your eye can see.
Including the 8-ounce water glass.
Including the 8-ounce water glass.
And the professor in the class.
Wow.
But it's almost impossible to wrap your mind about that. But the only thing that gives space dimension is time. And so let's go to Revelation 10.
Sometimes you're always doing son Anthony.
What?
Hey, yes. Hey, Anthony.
Revelation 10. Why don't you sit over there where Pete was normally, because I want to be able to see Kevin. Revelation 7. 10, I mean, excuse me. Revelation 10. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when the lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and things that are therein, and the earth and things that are therein, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, Go and take the little book which is upon the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth as sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Now the mystery of God is completed. Time shall be no longer. When time is no longer, at the speed of thought, everything in the universe must pass through that dot that's smaller than your eye can see. It's almost impossible to conceive of. But that's what 2 Peter discusses. Now again, the only thing that gives space dimension, the space dimension is time. And the scriptures are clear that judgment must first begin in the house of God, in the temple of God, which we are. So that seventh angel has to stand within each of us and declare time is no longer, because you have left time and space and are permanently seated on the mercy seat. And the only way that can happen is in him, and he in you. Now at that point, the scriptures are clear. Jesus said that only that which proceeded from the Father can return to the Father. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 6.
Hey, Ollie. We've been talking about this for a while. What's the debate again?
The importance of time.
That's a debate.
Well, no, Gary keeps thinking God is acting, or it seems to me, he's saying God is acting differently at different times.
Oh, okay.
Which is something I've never actually said. But time in and of itself, would you consider it evil?
Well, it says redeem the time, for the days are evil.
Does that mean time is evil? I mean, that, I don't see a real correlation.
Well, is the womb evil?
No.
Is the birth evil?
No.
But the afterbirth is. It serves a purpose for a time, and then it is no longer.
That's not evil, though. It serves its purpose, and it's not necessary.
Well, by definition, the only question we have is where, what's the purpose? The serving its purpose. The purpose of time is only antagonism, to see if anything can draw anyone off the mercy seat.
Okay.
Yeah, but can you repeat the scripture again? Again, that same scripture you just said there.
That wasn't a scripture. The purpose of time is to see if there's anything in time and space that can draw you away from the mercy seat.
You mean redeem the time for?
Redeem the time, for the days are evil.
I didn't say time is evil, it says the days are evil.
I know, I'm not saying anything is evil. I'm saying that time, you know, people keep asking me over and over for years and years, well, what about this? What about that? It says he'll use all things. Yes, he will use all things, but will he use you?
I'm saying, like, you know, it's like faith is only valuable if it's tested. And the medium of the test is through antagonism, which takes place in time. No problem. That has to take place, or the blueprint has no value.
But my point, again,
faith is the constant.
The point again is that we're, what God wants from his people is that we would confess the Lord Jesus. Homologio. Speak the same thing. In order to speak the same thing, you must see the same thing. But before you can see the same thing, you must hear the same thing. And so all I'm trying to do is get the people that are I have anything to do with to understand that we are out of time.
We are out of time, or we are exhorted to remain out of time?
We are. The real us is out of time. The Christ is on the mercy seat. We are in him. There is no other place.
Oh,
that's our true home.
Guaranteed. I'm not being the least bit argumentative, but it just occurred to me this question. Do you have a point? And I know you didn't bring this up this morning, but for years now, it seems like we've been talking this thing back and forth about time. And is there a point? It's like, are you defending something about the value of time or the value of sin or the value of being tested? Or is there anything you're...
No point. The only point is, you know, I don't disagree with what time is about.
Well, what's the debate?
But every time I bring it up, I'm challenged. And
because your question indicates that you are giving breath to time.
A necessary evil, and don't worry about it because God knows you're going to go pee on the floor because you're only 6 years old, and don't worry, somebody will clean it up and it'll work to the greater good. So it's okay, go ahead, pee on the floor.
Yeah. No, I think there's an issue of clarity here about what the truth is.
Well, yeah.
And the fact is, time exists and things happen in time. We are placed in time, and through that medium we're tested, Christ is put in us. And I guess the controversy is that every time it's brought up, there's such a response to it that...
The controversy is this.
Genesis 1?
No, we're not going to Genesis. The controversy is this, that on innumerable occasions, you have made a comment that, well, you're just going to live your life and God will do something. Do you remember those, or do you know what I'm talking about?
That's pretty... degrading and simplifying, but
well, it is very simplifying, and I believe it is to be degraded. Right, because my exhortation has to be to never give importance to time, so that his people can be seated permanently on the mercy seat with no excuse ever to be off of it, and that requires a constant state of emptiness and repentance.
Giving importance to time, can I infer you're saying you're giving importance to yourself?
Well,
you're certainly giving place to the devil.
Well, okay. My take on this, what it's worth, is in matters spiritual, time does not exist. Heaven, everything was not created in time. Was created in eternity. But in matters temporal, of us sitting here now this morning, time is very real. Time exists. But in matters spiritual, it doesn't.
Well, that's the whole point of it, is that if you...
Where's our life?
It's where's your life? What do you give breath to? What do you give importance to? Let's go to 2 Timothy. I mean, 1 Timothy, I'm sorry.
It still takes 3 minutes to pick an egg, but are you going to get upset about it when something happens?
Right, it's what you're doing in that time. Or what, yeah.
It's what you give breath to. It says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Remember, the word love there is a verb. It means, and it's a common verb in the Greek language. It's agapeo. And it means what you give breath to. If you give breath to time, you cannot love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. because you will give importance to things that are in time. You will rank things that are in time. You will make judgments based on things that are in time. And you will be always locked in the lower realms of life.
You'll think time is necessary.
Right.
It's like money.
And more importantly, you can't teach anybody anything that you haven't experienced.
All right, let's go to...
So you can only teach things about things in time. Not you personally, but...
First Timothy chapter 6.
Chapter what?
You are a cheeky
motherfucker.
Start in verse. We'll start in verse 1 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. The name, and not just of masters, it's bosses, whoever is over you. And the name, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strives of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings and surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, godliness is this great word. It's it's how you think. Godliness is asthema. And it means it's how you think. It's whether or not that thought is, if your every thought, if your every breath, if your everything that you believe is important, you give breath only to God. That's called godliness. You never give breath to anything else. There's no ranking in time and space of things that are important or not important. There are no agendas. There's no investment in anything, because whatever you're doing in thought, in word, in deed, you're doing it as unto him. And the way you know is because you don't have any investment in the outcome. It's all his. You've been bought with a price. Now watch. So anything that... this is the point. This is not just the prosperity gospel. It's anything that gain is godliness. It's any kind of gain. It's any kind of winning. It's any kind of benefit to you. That's what they say, that gain is godliness. That's only from men of dis... I mean, it's just sick. You understand? What?
If I can interject for a second. Once 10, 12, 15 years ago, you asked me to teach Bible study at Wembley. And there are three or four or five guys, and if I were to mention their names, you'd know. I mean, very bright guys, but all kind of smart asses, and they knew I had never taught Bible study before, so they went after me. They started slow, but the pack formed quickly, and they went after me. So what I did was, this is where I went, and this was what I spoke on, but I went to it as a defense and then an offensive weapon. And I really used it as an offensive weapon. And they all got up and walked out, and I don't think any of them ever came back. It just dawned on me what it was that I had done, because I knew I'd gone to the right scripture, and I thought I understood it, but what I was doing, I was using it for my gain, to defend myself against this wolf pack.
Once they left, you had...
I confess that readily now. It was only 15 years later.
That was in 1984. That means it's 24 years later.
That was... Yeah. I was mad. Never, man. See, what happened was I got really, really mad.
All right, let's just, we're not, let's go down to verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life. And that means grab it with all your worth. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can ever see, to whom be honor and power and everlasting. Amen. Now you got to hear this. Who alone has immortality? This is why everything about our experience on earth is the process of the renewal of our mind. The renewal of their mind is that you have brought everything to the very edge of time and space itself until you can see that there is nothing there that has any eternal value. And what happens then? Then you recognize and your mind is renewed that the only thing that's worth giving any importance to is that which doesn't change with time. Because that is the part of you, the divine impulse, the heavenly spark, the sperma of God that's within you. And your mind must be renewed to see the same thing, to hear the same thing, and to speak the same thing. That's why every speech must be seasoned with salt. Salt is the component of eternity. So that this is the process. We only have one vocation, one avocation, one purpose, one calling, and that is to be transfigured by the renewing of our mind, and that we not be conformed to this world in any way. The zeitgeist of whatever age you're in has no value, no importance, but you're under every law and every custom of your place. So that is the schoolmaster which brings you to the moment of his mystery. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality, so that you're clothed with the new cloth, the new being. So there's no spot or wrinkle. So there's nothing about you that touches time. That's why we are what we are about. It has nothing to do with your life in time and space, except to see if you're going to pull any purpose. Do you have a purpose in life? I promise you, if you do, that'll be a spot in a wrinkle and it'll pull you off the mercy seat. Do you have a goal, an agenda? That'll pull you off the mercy seat.
This is the house built on shifting sand and the house built on rock. You build a house on shifting sand, you might spend 8% of the construction time. To do it built on rock with a proper foundation, it might be 50 or 60% of the time before you come out of the ground.
Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. It says earlier, the first Adam and the last Adam. If he is the last Adam, who are we? As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, transfigured, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be transfigured. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. That has to be our only purpose, for this corruption to put on incorruption, to be transfigured. And again, it has to happen in his people before it happens in time. That's what the book of Revelation is all about. It's each of those plagues having hit each of his people, so that finally that seventh angel stands in you and says, the mystery of God is completed. Time is no longer. I am waiting for nothing. There is nothing left to happen. There is nothing left to do. It is finished. It is perfect. Until each of us individually see that, then I'll keep preaching. Otherwise, you're drawn away by everything. You know, every little thing that happens, or how, what your emotions are doing, or what this is happening, or that is happening. Or any little thought can drag you away. Any little shiny thing can take you off the mercy seat. But once you give breath no longer to time, there is nothing that can take you off the mercy seat. And you finally understand that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He doesn't give you life. He doesn't teach you the truth. And he doesn't show you the way. He is. He must be your total life. There is nothing else. And I believe with everything in me that the biggest detriment to understanding that is our giving importance to time. Just think. Just think of the long suffering of Christ. Let's just for a moment assume that I'm right. And that the night of the last day, which is the beginning in Hebrew, started at the moment Christ was crucified when the sun darkened. And we've been in that night of the last day for 2,000 years, waiting for his people to have for the renewal of their mind, that they might confess the Lord Jesus. This is the same thing I've been preaching for 35 years. I've been really successful at it, haven't I? Anybody have any other response?
Just be here now.
Hmm?
Just be here now.
Right. Now is the only accepted time.
That's all I can do. That's all any of us can do. And if you can't, all I end up doing is bringing forth... I hate using your clichés. But bringing forth fruit for repentance.
That's not a cliche. It's a scripture.
Oh, yeah, good. But bringing it back to the whole idea of repentance, which continues to keep you in that state of being a renewed creature and being a, you know.
It's a slow but sure. Unfortunately, the slow is because of our rebellion.
But that's okay. It's the rebellion that gets us there. If we are made aware and recognize who we're surrounded by.
Somebody asks, writes in again and asks about this question. This is the MP3 to direct you to. I'm serious, this one. in my memory, which of course is not very good, this is the most concise, clear address of the question.
Mister, you have you are.
Listen to this MP3 about 10 times.
You wanted to start at 31, and you said, nah, 47. The 30, then why stand we in jeopardy every hour?
That's right.
What makes every hour so
sacred? Every hour we stand in jeopardy because we leave the mercy seat for some little shiny thing in time and space. And then we justify it, and God help us. Oh, you don't understand my position, Ollie. Oh, yes, I do. It's common, ordinary, boring flesh.
But didn't you used to do that before?
I did it 5 minutes ago, bro.
Just saying. Set
time. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Jesus Christ, our Lord. I die, David.
This isn't a light matter. It isn't a discussion about words. It's the essence of the doctrine into which we have been delivered. It's the meaning of the cross of Christ. Gary?
I was just thinking about the crucifixion took place before the world began, in essence, before time began.
Amen.
And that's our anchor, and it's our only place where flesh is dealt with.
Amen. And when that's apprehended, then you're not seduced anymore. As the serpent beguiled Eve with his subtlety. Let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ. And the understanding of that he was crucified before the world began, before the foundation of the world. That means the whole universe. That takes time totally out of the picture.
There's a manna and a mammon and a time equation as well. Because from minimum wage to the Fortune 500 list, there's one commodity that cannot be bought or sold. No matter how much you pay, you can't buy more time.
You
can't buy time, no matter how much money you have.
You must like money.
Me?
Yeah.
He's so money, he doesn't even know he's money.
All righty, I gotta go.
Gotta go.
I gotta go to the doc.
You know, it's the evil.
And you have to move. The rest of us have to move Keala.
Thank you.